Muhammad Nabiya.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Every day Muslim, Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, EMPA. Every day Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Every day Muslim, Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the
truth.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home and sealing me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh, and there's a couple words I wanna say. For the rest of my life, I'll be with you. I'll stay by your side, honest and true, till the end of my time. I'll be loving you for the rest of my life. Through days and nights, I'll thank Allah for opening my eyes. Now and forever, I'll be there for you. I know it deep in my heart.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. Home and stay with me, yeah, I'm here with you. Now let me let you know.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Listeners at home, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I am Abdul Hakim Qasim, and it's a pleasure to welcome you again to another edition of Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, 17th August 2024, corresponding to 12th of Safar, 1446 AH. On the Everyday Muslim show, we try as much as possible to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse Quran, O your prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their clothes all over their bodies. That will better that they should be known as free, respectable women, so as not to be annoyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever all forgiving, most merciful. That verse of the Quran you would find in Quran chapter 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 59. Muslim women who are veiled, following the instructions of their creator, often face different challenges in this regard. And the Tokyo Olympics in France, French female athletes who are banned from participating in the games just by virtue of the fact that they chose to use the veil. You know, here in Nigeria, we have a situation where many are characterized as security threats and are often harassed for using the veil. But so many organizations actually deny them a job opportunity regardless of their competence just because they chose to use the veil. Or talk about the veil, talking about the hijab, whatever name you want to call it the hijab, call it the khima, call it the niqab, call it the burqa. All these are, you know, different, you know, appellations that we give to a Muslim woman who chooses to use the veil. So today, inshallah, on the program, we are discussing character behind the veil, the character behind the veil. And our guest is Hajia Sakina Abdi from Nullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. For those of us who probably don't know Hajia Sakina, she is a remarkable individual in the diverse range of roles and talent. She's not just a Muslim mother, but also a devoted Muslima who continuously strives to please her creator. In addition to her personal commitment, she serves as an educational consultant who provides valuable guidance and support to students and educational institutions. She is also a marriage counselor who assists couples in their marital journeys. She is an entrepreneur, demonstrating her dedication to entrepreneurship and innovation. Her expertise extends to being a certified handwriting expert, adding a unique skill to her repertoire. She is a proud graduate of the Lagos City University of Education, formerly known as Abdinah Okosua College of Education. So, Hajia Sakina, you're welcome to Everything Slim Show again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right,
so it's a pleasure to have you here. Now, because we're discussing the character behind the veil, for some of our listeners, some might actually wonder, what exactly is even the veil? Talk about family hijab or whatsoever. So what exactly is it? And what should be the character of anyone who probably chooses to use the veil? Because I feel like we need to probably provide a kind of background for people, because they might be wondering, why is it that, you know, they see a Muslim woman dressing like, why does she choose to dress this way? So what exactly is the veil? Why should Toyin, is it family? Because she's been forced to do it? Or what exactly is it? And what should be the character of someone that will say that, oh, using this veil, these are things that you probably need to be identified with as the character of a Muslim woman using the veil?
Alhamdulillah, Try to be the Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. We bear witness that there is no deity but Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and messenger. Alhamdulillah, it's here that we're discussing about the veil. The veil is just not a piece of wool, but to please the commander from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an outward manifestation of inner modesty as regards the Bahama. Allah has said in Quran 24, verse 41, Allah instructed the redeeming women to draw their veil over their husband and not to reveal their ornaments except to their husband or close male relatives. The veil represents a barrier against the oversexualizations of women. It keeps the peace of mind, gives the society tranquility so that the women can be honored and not downgraded. It is a reminder that in Muslim's world is not in her appearance alone, but in a character, faith, and piety. So we should understand that it's not just something we just wish to do. It is fulfilling the commandments of Allah. Allah commanded it, and we trying to adhere to Allah's one of Allah's commandments is what we refer to as putting on the veil. The characters that a woman or the woman that puts on the veil should
exhibit
is firstly, at the stage whereby it's not something that comes so easy with the way the society is. So it comes with a lot of conviction and it's a lot of sacrifice. You make sacrifice to wear your veil, either the hijab or kimara or the niqab. You actually have to exhibit some character. Irrespective of anything, you don't have to be tolerant, be patient. It should go beyond the physical appearance. You need to know that there are going to be challenges, irrespective of anything. Okay. But the ability for you to still hold on time to the commandment of Allah makes you somebody that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And we are not people to be scared of, because we actually bring tranquility to the society. Men have men would have a lot of ease in the society. We are going to be able to avoid zina, fornication, and adultery if every woman should observe the veil as it should be observed.
Okay.
Irrespective of, so somebody that is putting on the veil, you have to know that, okay, your speech, your appearance, the way you relate to people, the way you do your business, everything has to until the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not just free. There are rules that are actually guiding you. So, for you to decide to put on the veil, the Allah may keep it for each and every one of them.
I love the fact that you mentioned, they should not be scared, because people feel like, oh, we don't know. even the identity of the person from that hatred field. So whether it's someone that family can move close to or someone family we need to actually run far away from. But now that you have said that, okay, that not people to, you know, people should actually should not be afraid of them, but then they should, you know, relate with you on the basis of your character and the way you interact with them, and not necessarily on the basis of their appearance. Because, like you said, so it means the motivation is, you know, obeying the commandment of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. That's you know, the major thing. All right. So now, so in what ways should people, individuals, try to ensure that their character and actions align with the values symbolized by the veil? Because now that you have mentioned the fact that you need to take care of your character, the way you conduct your business, and people are like, oh, this ain't no easy. So how do I conform, you know, to this? So that at the end of the day, people probably will not abuse their donut, and they will not also abuse probably the religion on the basis of the way I conduct myself. So how then should people align their own individual character and actions with, you know, the values that the hijab, the veil, really represents?
Like, this will bring me back to remembering an hadith Qudsi. It is a revelation of Allah through the Prophet, which is not a verse to apprehend.
Okay.
Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, know me before you worship me.
Mm.
If you don't know me, how do you know how to worship me? So, you know, you need to learn, unlearn, and relearn what it entails for you to be a Muslim and unveil. And you know that it's beyond the physical appearance.
Yeah.
You should know that the veil is an act of worship.
Mm.
So, with your utterance, the way you walk, the way you do things. I love that the Prophet ﷺ says that
it's Sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Prison for the believers and a pure word for those who are unbelievers. It means that you have a rule guiding you at every point in the time. The way you do your things, the way you eat, the way you go to the restaurant, the way you... Everything Islam has guided you.
Yeah.
So you should have a proper knowledge that is both beyond the physical appearance. You should know what is expected of you in society. It doesn't mean that you have to live right for people, but you need to educate people. When you don't, you can't give what you don't have.
Absolutely.
You need to be knowledgeable enough to tell people. I remember when I went to my high tea and somebody was like, who are you putting on this veil? We are going to do this to you. And they called the panel and I have to pay the panel.
Why is it?
And when I got to the panel, I remember somebody saying, yeah, they don't think you don't have to do it to you. You don't have to, you know, I was calm. It was not anything. And alhamdulillah for the training we had back in those days.
So you're psychologically prepared for that?
Yes, I was prepared. Because why I would say that things are different. I remember in the 80s, before you, it is a gradual process. Mm. You don't just use the niqab. You don't just use the hijab. Mm. You don't just, you know,
start from somewhere.
And it's a process. I remember the last one, I have led all those my mentees and mentors. They will say, there was a time I started putting on the saw, and somebody was like, you have to start putting on the saw. So I was like, no, I understand this thing. No, you don't do that. You have to know that you just, it is a stage. You need to understand. I remember I was actually giving some books to be read. I read a book on Return of Pharaoh, how the Hailing Muslims face challenges, and what... All the people was they were trying to practice their thing.
Mm.
Normally, in the constitution, it says there is freedom to religion, but...
Mm. It is when it comes to that, yeah.
Muslim, you understand, everybody. So I was prepared. And I faced the panel, I had to tell them that this is the reason why I was doing this. And the man was like, wow, I was giving the best West students of the year.
I love
that. And, but you know, it didn't come so easy.
It won't come easy.
I remember my lecturers coming from town and said, is this a kid? You are going to have it in details. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So there should be conviction. You should know the reason why you're doing things.
Mm-hmm.
You will have rejection from the family, from neighbors, classmates. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But irrespective of anything, just know where you're going and who are you actually dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
There's a proverb in your brother saying, you don't look at the market.
Mm-hmm.
You look at those you
have.
So if we, over the years, are listening to what people are saying, that I don't think there will remain one person of
it. That's the reason
they fail.
Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And you see, it's good that you actually share some of his experiences, because I know quite a lot of people, even our students, the fact that you are kind of like ostracized, you are separated, that people know this is person, this and that. People don't even want to like come there or something like that. And some, they relate with you on the basis of some of these, you know, sentiments, or, you know, they have this mindset already, and they feel like a person like that, what is it that they have, or what is it that they can do, you know, quite well that they are really not. Some of you won't believe that. Using the veil, some would even doubt your competence just for using the veil.
I don't think they do that any longer.
See, they might not do that probably for you, especially those that know you, because they have had the opportunity of interacting with you. But imagine a situation where someone already judged you without even meeting you or having anything to, without even interacting with you. You know, just from afar, they already concluded that this one is a nobody. This one cannot do well. So, you know, until they interact with you, before they know that, wow. So, that I have this perception does not really mean that's the reality of this person. So, I love that. Now that you have said that, now, so I want you to react to this, you know, perception that people have that, you know, there's this notion that righteousness and character should be judged by action rather than appearance. So especially when it involves a Muslim, I'm using the veil. It's not about the hijab, not about hijab. I beg, in fact, now my heart is pure. So it's not about covering. I don't need to cover before my heart is pure. And so that, and people also say that appearance might be deceptive. Don't judge it by its color. That someone uses the veil does not really mean the person is pious or something like that. So I want you to probably react to that emotion. So I want you to, so how would you respond to that for those who have such perception that it's not actually how they feel? So my heart can be pure and I might not even have to use the hijab or anything.
I think it's a big misconception. There is a difference between, a slight difference between righteousness and character. There is something we refer to as tabia in Islam, an attitude and habits that you already have in you before you even come in contact with the hijab. Majority of us were not born by parents that are actually using the veil or using the hijab or adequate understanding. What we should understand is that character. People have different character. A baby even has his own character.
Absolutely.
Maybe if I decide to take breastfeed, another one will say, no, I'm not taking breastfeed for this is what I want to do. This is, you will give it. I remember my first child, I would give soya baby. Soya baby, she refused to take. Another child was actually taking it and was looking fresh and, you know, robust. So we have different character. Righteousness has to do with religion. Obeying the commandments of your creator and following it gradually. Tree does not grow in a day.
Okay.
So we should stop judging people's appearance with their character or righteousness with their appearance.
Mm-hmm.
We should know that it comes with their action. Give people the opportunity to relate with them. Know the kind of person they are. I remember when I was going for a job one time ago, somebody met me in my office and said, he's our boss, he's a wicked person, is this, is that. So it will be a very bad attitude of mine if I don't give that boss to exhibit that badness.
The chance. Today,
she was never put to me. She is the best of the best that today we.
So we should not judge by the report without giving the person the opportunity to really from the exhibitor. Or let us give the person a benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. Another thing is, you are human. We are runs in our bills. You can make mistakes. Even the prophets of Allah, the prophets of Allah make mistakes. Yeah. You know the Sahabas.
They do.
If they don't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not tell us about to the Sahabi.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Quran told us that seek for forgiveness. Absolutely. Why? Because they make mistakes.
Yeah. The prophets
of Allah, it's only Allah that is perfect.
Yes.
The prophets of Allah, Allah said in the Quran that I forgive you your passing, and the one you're going to commit
future
means that Nobody's happy. That perfection belongs to only Allah's word. So when you see people, don't just judge them in their appearance. That, what do you expect her to do?
No.
You understand? What we should do is put them the exhibit, the opportunity to exhibit
whatever thing you have in them.
And don't judge them because of their appearance.
Mm.
Relate with them with their actions.
So for this, so I will then probably take also this common thing now, because people who use the veil are usually misconceived by the society. So I want you to probably share some of these misconceptions about those who wear the veil. And how are these misconceptions? So, how should these misconceptions be addressed or countered by those who use the veil themselves? Because I have experienced so many things. I interact with students. I'm in the education sector, so I understand so many things that happen, especially even with people who use the hijab or even use the niqab or things like that. But for the sake of our lessons, so I wanted to probably share some of these misconceptions that people have about the people who use, you know, the veil, and how do we address. And probably might also let us know if at all these misconceptions are also peculiar to, you know, different societies. Because it might be that in some places it's the norm, so they might not have such misconceptions about in such societies. But in some places it might be strange seeing anybody even using the niqab. So I want you to probably share some of those misconceptions with us.
Now, how happened? Well, let me be rated in society on the base of 1 to 100.
Okay.
I would say the society has really failed, mostly with this misconception. Mostly, you'll be going and you'll hear a mother telling the child, see, what you do? See the world. Firstly, you're actually telling that child, disrespect that person, irrespective of the person's age, irrespective of the person's competency and qualifications or anything. There was a time I remember that I was backing my baby, and a woman was going, and she said, she was talking to her child and said, look at him, look at him. And I,
sorry, but for those who don't understand Yoruba, I say Ipukun Ujiji was a man's spirit of myself.
So I was, and the child was like, and she was putting it. And she said, look at her. She's actually waiting. And I told my daughter, and I faced my daughter, I said, I'm also looking. These people that dress like this are actually prostitutes. You can refer to them as prostitutes. She was mad. She was so, don't make the, to be calm when you were referring to me as a masquerade. And when you see small children go today, even without their parents, they tell, oh, juju. And I wait at times to address them and say, it is mommy, it is not only. You understand? I am doing this because I'm actually following the commandment of my creator. You see, she couldn't control the fact that I had to tell my daughter that people that dress like these are actually prostitutes. Or you want me to curtail the fact that you can insult me or tell your child to insult me. You understand? And I remember there was a day that somebody said that to a child, and that child maybe 5 years. What I'm saying now, the child might be like 23, 24 years
now.
Because my daughter is now 18 or 19. And the child said, mommy, she's more beautiful. She's having a beautiful baby. You can imagine. So if you're actually doing that, what have you portrayed? Some people would like, they are bad people. Ask them, what experience do you have? The first people for you to just
conclude
in your mind that
they are bad people.
Do you have them at Livonia? The one I have at my wife, that one, she's very calm. Why do you decide to be tormented on this set of there were times that with the boss, we get related. So people will sit and say, oh, yeah, she's cheating. Also, I remember the day I was doing something. I was in a commercial board and they were bankers. They were actually putting on their ID card.
Okay.
And I saw them. I was seated. And they were like, I will not enter the door soon. I can't see beside that. This and that. Fortunately for me, my phone rang and I brought up my phone. It was this time of the BlackBerry.
Okay.
I was using C10. And they were looking at it. This is the type of my phone. So, do you have to judge people with what they have? You know, They now prefer to sit beside me.
CNZ.
Yes.
My God.
You see, this is the kind of
stereotypes. Stereotypes people have.
I remember when I was in school, people would come, have I checked your examination kit? Are you sure you are the one? Are you sure you are this? I remember so many people of lecturers saying, I can't imagine being in my class. Why do you have to be in this class? And what I do then is I make sure I get early to the class. That's what I tell my sisters in the class. I give no room to that lecturer to molest me. I have seen cases of, how will I now, you know, it got to a stage of, how will I now be identifying? Sir, I will be greeting you when I meet you. Even after my years of graduating, I remember one that was coming from a grave and she was, my lecturer was buying something for one woman and said, ah, if it is my larger, she will greet me. I didn't really see it. And when I got there, good morning, sir. I said, I will say please. You know, we go to that level. We go to a level when I meet my lecturer and say, sir, let me help you with those things. You're like, Elijah, I cannot be. No, you are my lecturer. The professor himself says, I should honor you. So give them to him. Well, you know, this perception of, you can't come to me in my class. We have the case of a sister, if not, that was molested, downgraded, dragged out of the lecture room. Just, what is our offense? She didn't do anything just because she was visiting. So the society has failed to address this issue. You know? The condemnation, we forget about those people who are the nasty ones. God wants to get news. If anything should happen and you react surprised, maybe you are not in the team. If you have most bands, we might have watches with the husband at home, we might have watches with our children, things might happen, and when you react, the next thing you will hear is, and you say you are using the cure.
As if the person is a human.
Yes, you have to be an angel. Everybody expects you to be an angel. When they step on the toes, you don't have the right to react. You don't have any, you don't have to say anything. Just accept it. Because the first moment when you say, you are supposed to do this to me, and you say you are using the veil. So it means that you have to be stupid. You have to, I don't know. What's qualification? So the society has failed to address this. You are human. Every human being has a right. Opinion. I remember a few weeks ago, I was actually going somewhere and I saw those people that are dressed in white with, you know, they are shown worshippers.
Okay.
And maybe the boss number was like, hey, don't enter all this and that. The man was already aggressive, like, want to treat me like a trash because I'm wearing this. Not to talk of, I remember in those years, in Strong Lady, you walk the whole of Strong Lady, you don't see anybody in the teacher. These days, you even go over, you meet somebody, you're happy that you saw your sister in the snack. In the 80s, you walk the whole of Strong Lady from Motorelec Barra, more people, Cross Street, to all the way to Stadium. You might not find somebody using an agent.
I'm sure the people of Strong Lady will be happy now that, look at this idea, I just met Strong Lady in my area. Can you imagine? Did she grow up in that area? Yeah. All right. So that's very good. So I love the fact that you mentioned some of these things because that probably how about the issue of harassment from security man?
I have one this one.
A lot. I understand.
Why are you dressing like this? This one that you're covering your face. You know, it's a normal thing. I just smile with it. One thing I don't understand is because we had an opportunity of the training that we are going to face both things. And when I'm going out in the morning, I tell myself, Sekina, you are actually following the rules of it. As I'm putting on my jacket, I said, I'm actually following the rules of Allah. Irrespective of anything, anybody that can maltreat me, I want something special in return. You can't just treat me anyhow. One thing we should understand is, if you treat people anyhow, it's either two ways. Is it that they react? Because people only talk about the reactions. They never want to talk about
the cause, the action that necessitated the reaction.
Is it that the person react or the person trying to get something in return from Allah? Would you prefer the person reporting you to Allah or saying, my faithful, see what I have faced because I'm actually following you? Look at what is happening to me. So, this notion of, you know, look at the misconception from childhood. How do you want the society to tell such person, a child? See, is this. So look, I'm already giving a lot of information, misconceptions are already there. People don't even want to relate with you before concluding in their mind that this is the kind of person we have.
All right, JazakAllah. I love the fact that you shared, you know, some of those sections. And I want to believe that a lot of people that also use the veil would identify with some of those experiences that you have shared. And it's also good that you're saying some of this because there are so many people out there. They do some of these things, some deliberately, and some unconsciously because it has already been ingrained in them. So they grew up with such mentality that, for this kind of people, this is how we should relate with them. And they really never had an opportunity to, you know, have a one-on-one interaction. And they just go about with such a mindset. And some, it's not as if they ever had any negative interaction with anyone within field. But they just had one story somewhere of the watch home. I remember there was this particular movie in Nigeria then. They later changed the name, just before that, Mina Eleha. And I remember that, you know, there was this backlash right face before the title was changed. It just shows us the kind of things that, and the experiences, the challenges that those who use the veil have to go through. And I understand and I appreciate that. A lot of them, with that orientation that you said, that's training. So they already understand what to expect. So, and they are not shocked, so to say, by that. And I love the fact that the way you have even handled some of these different situations, that at the end of the day, your action is able to neutralize, you know, the perceptions and, you know, that they have. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless you and every other person, you know, that uses, you know, that follows this injection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so, in this case now, in what way does the presence of, you know, the hijab or the veil influence the attitudes and behaviors among others, including Muslims and non-Muslims alike, in the sense that there are some that will be welcoming, some might not be welcoming. So, but then, those are the hijab really influence people's attitude and behavior in a way.
No, it actually does. Why? Because if you want to be the law as it should be taken, you want to adhere to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to see it as an act of worship, it will actually change most, if not everything. Like, yeah, sometimes you have some attitude that it doesn't change like that. For somebody like Umar radiallahu anhu, he's a street person, he's a no-nonsense man. The fact that he accepted Islam does not depreciate or change him totally. But it is only that he will now channel his discipline to another way. So as far as you are able to follow the commandment of Allah, you are going to actually, it will actually affect your attitude. The way we tolerate people is because it is not easy as human.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing was guiding us, if nothing was guiding us, I can imagine a sister that grew up in Ajedile or Ijonabadia and decided to cook on the hijab, maybe after some kind of exposure at a later time in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And you now came and said, hey, I was glad for the world, I would be grateful for my if not because something is actually guiding.
I'm sure she would.
There's a law that is actually guiding us. We don't just behave, we don't just fall, we don't just move. We know we are conscious of places we go. Though today, we have people that just feel that, I can't start using the Kimar or the Vlo. Some using for different reasons, like, identifying being, it makes people to honor me, it makes this and that. And at the end of the day, see some lapses.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why when challenges come, it does not take them anything
to remove it.
You actually know that there is a difference between debt and rights.
Mm-hmm.
So you will know their utterance. So if it's like not someone that will now go as uttering slangs, or let me go to disco marketing with them, it doesn't mean I should be and just say,
yeah,
to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you know. We are concealed. Now, in a practice, something is actually guiding you. So, your attitude affects both Muslims, non-Muslims, even to animals. Because we have, Islam is a complete way of life. It guides us in all ramifications. It tells us how to do things. Even to the extent of going to a restaurant. You know, even to the extent of you meeting your spouse, the way you train your children, what are the things you train them with? What you consume, what you feed in your house, which are the animals that are lawful and unlawful. So it means that you are not just that person. You are representing a whole lot. I remember when I was school, I was an HOC. I was the only Muslim in my group,
in the parliament.
I actually called the president later.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, a lot of things, you just have, you have to be told that people saw the difference. Mm-hmm. I remember when they were having the Arab Day, and he said, please, oh, you know, our president is Elijah, so there's no turn on or fight, fitted clothes. You know, so yes, it does affect. Don't mm-hmm. know that. Around me, I never told them that don't do this. Don't do that. So somebody came up with a meeting. Yes, I said, you know that our president is Elijah, so we will not be able to dress her. This all these people seem to dress you lot be allowed during our day, and we should go. Maybe the least they can do is put on a baggy trousers and put a shirt that will cover their bosom. You know, it means that it surely have effect.
Mm-hmm.
People know, you know. Even when people want to address, they'll be saying, and don't bring this issue of Elijah. Anything you do, once you dress like that,
mm-hmm.
people appreciate you.
The religion. Yeah, so, and I'm not talking about religion here. I'm not talking about religion here.
I think somebody said, okay, we don't have to ask, I'm okay. Is it that your religion saying that you should not
eat? Yeah.
Everything is always a fact, but it should have a place. Because when you're in that country, people know how to think. People are expecting some things. It's just that Shaitan is not, the devil does not leave us at every point. They are just trials. Mm-hmm. So you as a Muslim knows that you need to tolerate them because they are just trials from Allah. And they are just normal instruments. It's just like when you are going on the way and you have somebody holding a dog. And when you saw somebody holding a dog and you are now looking at the dog, like, don't bite him. Mm-hmm. You see? A sensible person will like look up to the face of the person like Jordan. We call this dog fight.
Yes.
So look up to your creator. I think your creator that some of those people you are not okay with it, and Allah surely knows how to reward you with them.
All right. Alhamdulillah. I mean, so the program is Everyday Muslim Show on WFM 91.7. We'll go on a short break while we return the program from tunes. Please stay with us. Welcome back. If you just joined in, you are listening to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM, WFM on 91.7. And we are discussing character behind the veil. And our guest discussant has been Hajia Sakina Difunola Said. Inshallah, we'll continue to discuss. But before then, I'd like to tell our listeners that you have an opportunity to be part of this discuss by sending your comments, questions, and contributions to 0703-175-6537. That's the number to send your comment or messages via SMS or WhatsApp. You can also call the number 07000-917-917. And for women, you have the toll-free line. As a woman, you can call the number 0800-235-917. 0800-235-917. All right. So, Hajia Sakina, thank you for the experiences that you've actually been sharing all this while. Now, I want us to take our business concept a bit further, and that has to do with the idea that people have that uncovered individuals can sometimes exhibit stronger character or righteousness than those who wear the veil. How do we address this, and how should we really understand this within the community? We have a call on the line. Hello? All right. You can call the number again. You can try it again. The number to call is 07000-917-917-07000-917-917. You can also send an SMS or WhatsApp a message to the number 0703-175-6537. So I was asking that, you know, how do you react to this fact that, yes, okay, oh, we are having the phone again. Hello, good morning. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. All right. So what's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm Mr. Yunso from Lamili Friday. I'm calling from Lagos.
You're welcome.
I so much salute the obedience of our teachers in there, you know, for following the rules of Allah and the commandments of Allah. May Allah continue to let us have more of them in Islam. My concern now is this. I discovered that many who are under veil, who are using, who are following the commandment, is like, the knowledge about me is not
limited. It's limited, so yeah.
Yes, so like in the Korean, we discover that it is not, I think it is sunnah.
Okay.
Not
compulsory. Is that what you're trying to say? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. When we go to when we check the Korean for it, we discover that the prophet's wives were commanded to obey. So but those who now they among us here now, they feel that those who are using the who are showing who are still using the galba, but are not veiling completely.
Okay.
They do see them like they are not they are not doing the right thing.
Okay.
Let me put it that way.
Right.
So I want our sister to please
shed more light on it.
Because I think
I have got what you're saying. Yes, I have got it. Right. So don't worry. Let's allow her to respond. Yes, allow her to respond. Yes.
All right.
Okay. So, Haja Sekina, you know, the idea that family those who veil, they look down on those who are not yet, probably cover the face. Probably they just use the hijab or whatsoever. So let me allow you to respond to that. And for the fact that even those who veil too, there are some who, I mean, who really don't have a real understanding required of, you know, the veil. Probably some might be that, oh, my father said I must do it, or my husband just said I must do it. I'm just doing it because my hair, or just to imitate her. Yeah, so,
that's the reason. Alhamdulillah, for the basic, for the knowledge part of it, I was saying something that when we were young in the history, did we remember that it was a glamour process? Mm-hmm. You don't just start using the hijab. It's part from show, use the vocal. Then from the gore, you start using triangle.
Mm-hmm.
From triangle, you start using up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Then up and down, you can now graduate the level of the core. And before those stages, there were books you read, there were exposures, they will have monitor your character, what are the things. I remember when I started using socks, and I remember Brother Blige. And Allah bless him.
So,
he came to my house buddy with one of my mentees, which was a female, and they were like, "How did you start using these soaps?" I was like, "Oh, I understand that he did the judges of Allah." They asked me to remove it and told me that I was not yet there.
Hmm.
In today's world, people just have different notion to start using the veil.
Hmm.
And the misconception for people using the veil, looking down on people that was not using it, and we caught them wrong.
Hmm.
And I have my reasons. I have opportunities of going to different universities to match up, and I see things are transparent. But most cases, people...
It's the other way around.
Yeah, it's the other way around. Because
people who are not yet there are the ones that see those there probably as extreme, right?
Extreme. Have most cases of people, you know, when you talk, I say, no, not because you're changing the call. You don't even have a seat. I see people relate. You don't want to go quite happy. You see people, we call for MSN sisters, and I remember what I went to one school at Federal Polytechnic in Gilano to give a lecture, and a sister that was using those Pashmina was like, it's come to a station later. addressed me. I was like, I was trying to pull her closer, and she was like, I can't get to this your stage. She had to tell me.
She already made up her mind.
Yeah, it's that. Once she comes closer to me, what I would tell her is
she starts.
No. So for years, we were relating, and I never discussed about the jam with her. But we relate so good, you understand? Now that she's a proper female, and she was like, you are so good. No, it is not because I'm good. It's just because of the training I was opportunity to have.
Mm.
So most times when you say salam aleikum to somebody that is using his bone, or you meet all these mothers and say salam aleikum, they would like, the origin, you know, this is not Sean.
Mm.
I never, when I
Obasadi.
I went to Sute some years back, inside for a job. Immediately I came down, because I was born in the public, it kind of got me, my mother got down. Immediately I came down to the app, everybody was looking at me like, the gang, pressure was there. So somebody, actually, somebody later came to me and I said, those they are doing the job today. I want to use the job. Because something has been holding me, because society will not accept me. So this misconception, we have a lot of places to go together. What my slogan has always been, the last one I was ever treated with, everyone had a more awa. And we always want the best of the best. This analysis will just take me down to when you are in a class, because I've been teaching for 25 years before I became an education consultant. I remember that, you know, when you have a genius in the class, an average student, a dollar, somebody that is trying to learn, let me not say a dollar. You see the traits for somebody that is not yet there. Yes, we will be looking at
the envy.
Yes, the jealousy, like, what is this?
ITK. ITK. She's doing ITK.
Why? When you're expecting that they choose you as the black captain, everybody wants you. No,
the best, yeah.
Well, I will still caution my sisters that I recently called. Don't see yourself as you have it all.
Mm-hmm.
You've not gotten the certificate to Algeria.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't see yourself as
already there.
You're not there.
Mm-hmm.
Because until you break your mouth.
It's only allowed that those than the most pious.
If you ask that you are recently called, then you are the most pious, bro. It's not because you are using the pub, you are the most precious in the sight of Allah. No. It is just a privilege that Allah has given to you to attain some level. So don't use it on anybody. Be humble.
Okay.
Be tolerant.
All right.
Accept people. Welcome them with a smile, a warming heart.
All right. I like the fact that you shared this, because there was this particular session that I actually watched online. That was this, it was actually more like when France was proposing to ban the use of face veil. When they were proposing to ban the use of face veil under Nicolas Sarkozy, and there was a guest who uses the niqab just like yourself, and there was another woman, actually from the Middle East, who grew up in France, got educated in France, not even using anything, and this one that was not using anything felt that, well, she was addressing the other woman that, you see, back home, this is not Saudi Arabia. This is not the Middle East. This is not Arabian Peninsula. You are overdue. You are an extremist. I'm also a Muslim. So why are you dressed this way? And you know, one wonderful thing the woman told her, I said, well, you lost your value. I gained it. Look at me very well. I'm not an Arab. I'm a French citizen, and I'm French, and I'm a Muslim. So it's because of people like you that the whole society denigrates those of us who use the niqab. I am a Muslim. I'm not picking this. This is not culture. This is the religion. And I'm doing this because I'm a Muslim. You think the hijab or the veil is the culture of the Arabs? And you feel that because you're out in the Arabian Peninsula, you don't have to use it. So if you're not ready to use it, do not discourage those who are not ready to use, who are ready to use it, or do not give government the excuse to actually ban the use of Facebook. And as Allah would have it, till today now, this office role in France remains banned. And like I said in the intro, that even athletes who use ordinary, even the hijab, who are French citizens, even when we talk it in, are banned them for participating in this last complete Olympics. And you know, as Allah would have it, the last Olympian that won gold medal at the Paris Olympics, who actually won for marathon, a woman from Morocco, and she uses the hijab. No, she's actually even from Netherlands. She's actually representing Netherlands, and she used the hijab, and she won gold medal. And said, look at France. Look at the hypocrisy, you know, on the face. So I love the fact that we are having this kind of discussion so that everybody will be on the same page to understand the fact that it is the commandment of Allah. For those who use it, yes, there is a need for us to respect their real choice. If you are not yet there, you might wish to use it, fine. You might not be ready to use it, no problem. Then don't discriminate against those who use. And for those who are using, we also pray that Allah assists you to sustain it. Don't also look down on those who, you know, and you must understand the reason for using it. So what's your conviction for using it? All right. So so what advice would you give to young Muslim women who are considering wearing the veil, but are concerned about the societal expectation of judgment they might face? Because some people are even feel like, wow, am I not even able to get a job? No, because I'm like, you don't get a job.
Yeah. I remember the last one some years ago.
Okay. I think we have a call on the line. Hello. Assalamu alaikum. Hello. All right. I think we are having some network issues. All right. So you can go ahead.
One thing now, the advice I will have for young Muslim women who are considering wearing the veil, be that in hijab, a kimaro, or the niqab, we should know that I will tell you to take your time to understand what had your expectations, blend or learn and relearn before you take it off. Take it one step after another. Do not jump steps. Go with a mentee. Let people mentor you through the process. Know that you may face trials. The trials will come. Go and read about the early Muslims and know what they actually face. Like the story of Mazhab bin Homer, the story of Sumaya and the like. Even women that are not of those times, you have a lot of faith. Even if you come to me, I can share the story. So, you know, consider the foundation. Do not mind the judgment of others in you using the hijab. Do not mind the judgment. Know yourself and who you intend to please, which is your creator. Guard your pride, your veil, with dignity and pride. Do not let the modern look down on you. Do not look down on yourself either. Do not be proud that you are better than anyone. Be humble. Be intentional about what you're doing, how you dress, how you do relate to people, how you do the people. Know for certain that you are trying to attain the pleasure of a man and at the end of it all, attain Jannah for yourselves. And do not do things to please anyone. Do not do anything. Don't compromise the commandment of Allah for anyone. At every stage, Allah will take you where He has promised to take you to. So many people will ask me. I remember my parents were like, Tekina, is she going to do well? How did she get it places? How will she be able to, you know? They were scared. But today, alhamdulillah, I know, I remember when sometimes ago I went to give a lecture, and when I was coming out, one of my uncles that are not gotten in touch with me for 20 years, I was like, what if you come up with me? Called me immediately, I was coming out of the video, I was like, you feel me? I said, I don't know what you said. I said, maybe in the beginning, I don't know. He said, I'm no, you understand? It makes that. Like, people would tell me that, if you're not with the hijab, I told them no. My lecturers would be like, I remember when I went to defend the school I was teaching, we wanted to get an Ahmad, and I remember their head was saying, assuming you're not dressing like this, I will have just gotten you a job in your head, and this like that, you are very intelligent. I said, sir, I will get you to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It's just sinful.
Fiat al akhlam.
It was just for this.
Whatever I'm deciding, I'm seeing any people that are not using anything. I see people, and other people doing conductor.
Yeah.
They are not using the jab, they are not using the veil. Allah did not take that. You will not get to be Allah has not said you will get you. So you will get there. If Allah said, checking out for going places, and I'm going places. I know I'm going places and I will still achieve a lot of things. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I said, hijab has brought me this far. Alhamdulillah, for the training I have in MSS. I'm looking like my mother, and there is going to be Allah bless her. She trained me like, you know, the courage. She only said, if somebody fights with you, the next they grease that person. You know, there are those moral values that was inculcated in me. In Allah's word, Allah continued to strengthen her. So, all those things, just make sure you hold up to your family values, the one that does not contradicts the deen. Do your things the way you are supposed to do it, and above all, dwell it. do everything. Yeah, Allah, if I could find that, let you put on the field. Let it not be in vain. Because the Prophet has said, some people are guided because they want to be punished. Okay. Some people are guided because they want to be blessed. Yeah, mm-hmm. So make sure you make dua. Pray to be tolerant, pray for patience, less of anger, and
some other things. Allah, all right, we have this message from one of our regular listeners, Ahola. She says, good morning. I appreciate your efforts and patience, my sister. Listening to you, I see that you have guidance while in the process of using the veil, which is very, very absent today. There are no guidance on processes today, and the morals of some of those using the veil is fell short of what the Quran and Hadith says. So, what are your advice to the Muslim community in this regard? Thank you.
My advice to the younger ones: be patient. It's not about the teenage you. The younger ones of today want to tell you, the teenagers want to tell you that I know more than you.
Mm-hmm.
I can. It is a normal phenomenon that happens, and you know, this way, like. So we should seek for people to guide us.
Mm.
You can't expect the mentor to walk up to you and say, I want to mentor you.
Mm.
No. You actually give yourself in.
Mm.
Try to give yourself in. Seek for people that can mentor you through the process. Yeah. Allah make it easy.
Ameen. I also have this message, although the name is not there. Say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to appreciate the guest speaker, the studio, and the host. It's good to listen to the speaker talk about perspective on the value and place of the niqab in Islam. However, I want to challenge the notion that niqab is a symbol of the level of iman for those wearing it. I have listened to her make expressions like, those whom Allah have given the privilege to use it, etc. I think it is a bit problematic when the niqab is promoted as a symbol of people's perfected iman. While this may be the impression of those who use it, some amongst them, there is no proof of that in Islam. Iman is in the heart, not on the face. And Allah alone knows the true faith of people and its richness. The niqab is a type of veiling, and based on people's orientation and understanding, it is the best form of compliance to the injunction on hijab, but certainly not the only one. I think it's important for us to promote unity of action rather than superiority of form. May Allah reward both the speaker and the host. Thanks and masalah.
So we are actually not promoting the superiority.
Superiority of the
niqab. Allah has categorized and giving levels to each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we should know that we should not feel intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody uses the niqab does not mean you're a prophet. We have said it repeatedly. And we have said that you using the niqab does not mean you're a prophet or you are better than everyone else. So people that are not using the niqab should not feel threatened.
Mm-hmm.
They should only appreciate those of you. Sometimes you might not be doing something and you'll be rewarded for it because you know it is the injunction of Allah.
Mm.
But people should not face those using the call. Tackling those type of people means that you are actually tackling the commandment of Allah. It is just like a human saying that because the Quran says, Matna was you like and we are there for all this commandment except peace.
Mm.
Then where does that lie? Where does that place you?
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of Allah grant us.
On a final note, as a partnership, so how do you think both of the veiled and unveiled Muslim women can work together to demonstrate the true character of Islam and values of Islam to the wider world?
We should know that the hijab is a commandment of Allah. It is not God's rule.
Mm-hmm.
If a rule is to come to way and say, if we should stop using the hijab, then people will have different choices. People will go out of it. Because this is an injunction. Mostly we should understand that we can relate. Once we understand is the basis. Instead of you, if I'm using the niqab, somebody can walk up to you and say, that this person is using hijab or niqab, how do you see it?
Mm.
Know that they are asking about the commandments of Allah, not that person. That person. So let's walk hand in hand. We shouldn't see ourselves as threats.
Mm.
We are not threats to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We are only to keep it is a process. The other person might be in a process who still use the hijab.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there were times that my parents had only worn my hijab and I'm only using the scarf or anything. You understand?
Yeah.
So people now using the hijab should not look down on me and say, I think this guy is not using the hijab.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You don't know what you are going through. And you don't know your unique situation. All right, just welcome about Khair. It's been a wonderful time out with Hajar, Sakina Saeed, sharing her experience as far as character behind the viewers concerned. I will also appreciate all our listeners and callers and those who sent in messages. Jazakumullah khairan for being part of the show today. You can listen again to this episode or other previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on Empath. Mpac, mpac-ng.org. scroll down and click on the FAC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. I'll follow Everyday Muslim on social media, Facebook, Everyday Muslim, Instagram, Everyday Muslim 01, Everyday Muslim 01 as a single word. Inshallah, Everyday Muslim will make its way back to your airwaves next week, same time, 11 a.m. same station, WFL 91.7. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. She's done for.